so you can see some of these lots are rectangular. There is a little jog in this one to match the existing fence line between the home and the field. We did find that there is a fence that's out of the public right-of-way. The city owns 66 feet on all the original 21 blocks of Medway. And it looks like that fence does encroach into what is city-owned property. So we want to make sure before the plat's recorded that fence is removed. It could be moved back to the property line, but we want to make sure it's out of the right-of-way. This shows all how the utilities will be connected. This is a site plan, how sewer and water will be connected to the three lots. Now this is difficult to see, but this is the original 21 blocks plat for Midway. This shows the 66 feet for every road. And amazingly enough, as you drive around town, you see all the old fences. They're all right at 66 feet. I'm just amazed at how accurate everybody's been over time. It's the new homes that seem to want to encroach into the city-owned property. These blocks are really interesting. Just to look at this for a second, got the town square here in the middle. But each of these are divided into six, or eight lots, I should say, and each one is oriented a different direction. So this one's kind of east and west, and this one's north to south. But this is how they divided up Midway to begin with. And this this block right here, that these lots are going to match these three lots on the original plat. So that's, there's not very many of them left in town, but this will be one of those. This is actually kind of an interesting one. This shows the original families that settled these blocks. And so you can see over here, this is the block we're looking at. But I'll point out that my great-great-grandfather's right here, John Van Wagner, so that's where we come from. So some interesting history with this. Some discussion items, one single-family dwellings. Only single-family dwellings are allowed unless required water rights are dedicated to the city for duplexes, if the code allows duplexes when an application is submitted. So this zone will allow duplexes if all the requirements are met. But one of the requirements is the water dedication for having two homes on a lot. And because of the size of these lots and because of the frontage, they are able to have actually two homes that are detached or attached. So they can have a duplex or two homes on a property that are detached. It's kind of a special feature if the lots are big enough or the properties are big enough in the middle of town in the R17 and R19 zone. So, but again, they wouldn't have that option unless those water rights are turned over to the city, and the code still allows it at that point in time when they apply for it. I mentioned the non-conforming structures. If a structure doesn't meet our current setback requirements, they're restricted on how they can expand those structures. So that garage that is very non-conforming to our code, if they want to expand to that, we'll most likely have to be on the very back end of it. They wouldn't be able to expand to the sites, for instance. So whatever happens to those structures, they need to be code. And then number three, existing non-conforming fencing must be removed before the plat is recorded. So they could just remove it, or they could move it back to where the property line really is located. I won't read all of this to you, but this is in our code regarding the water rights. This basically says if somebody matches the original blocks, then they'll be able to have that connection. It's only a culinary connection. It doesn't cover outside irrigation, but the water recommendation is based off of this code requirement. So here's actually the breakdown. And this did go before the water board for a recommendation. And this breaks down the impervious surface for the lots, the irrigated area, the three culinary connections, and then the credits for the existing home, and then the two lots that are historic lots within Midway on the original 21 blocks. So overall water would be 7.95 minus the credits, so 4.85 acre feet is what they would need to tender to the city before the plat's recorded. We do have some findings to consider. The proposed lots meet the minimum requirements for the R19 zoning district. Number two, the proposal does meet the intent of the general plan for that same district. Number three, the subdivision as proposed contributes to the goal set forth in the Midway general plan by reducing density and keeping the area more open and rural feeling. So it's developing, but it's developing at a very low density compared to what that zone does allow. And then the last finding is basically show extenuating circumstances. So it's just kind of a reminder to the applicant that they need to move forward on recording their plat once approval is received. Otherwise, they could lose that approval. And then recommended conditions. Number one, the existing fence along the north and east of the proposed subdivision should be relocated where necessary to ensure that all portions of the fence are within the boundary of the proposed subdivision for the recording of the plat. And number two, a note shall be included on the plat advising that only single-family dwellings are allowed on the lots unless all requirements are met that would allow a duplex or detached dwelling, and the code still allows the option at the time the approval is sought. Any questions for staff on this proposal?
So I have a question. So it's the zoning was R19. So even though it's on Main Street, I mean, clearly the commercial zone ends right at the town square and doesn't continue on Main Street? Just curious.
It does extend beyond Second West. And so just those corner Pringles and the Spruce, those are commercial even though they're on the other side. But yeah, before you, that was about the center of that block is when, at least on the north side, it switches to residential. And then on the south side, it's just Kringles itself. It's commercial. But yeah, that's where the transition happens to residential.
Do we know the intention of, are they looking for single family dwellings? Are they thinking duplexes? Do we know the intention?
We really don't know the intention. I'm not sure the family members are even going to build on the properties. I think they might sell them. But if they can meet code requirements, then right now, with that water dedication number that we looked at, all they can do is single family homes on each lot.
You have any input on that? Can we hear from the applicant?
So, Ben, Kim, Martha can't come tonight, but they asked me to come.
And just state your name for the record, please.
I'm sorry. Mike Johnston with Atwell, and we've prepared the dark drawings. They have no intention to sell these or to build on them at any time soon. This is part of their parents' trust, the Wayne and Aubrey family trust, and the parents have passed on. And so they're basically splitting the trust up between the children, the adult children. Nothing's actually planned to happen on the property. The picture you saw with the fence and the green pasture is still going to be green pasture for the foreseeable future. I think when they get older and pass this on to their children, something will of course happen. But for now, they really have no plans. They're really splitting the trust up. So they're going back to the three historic lots. They weren't lots of record, unfortunately, because they had been combined, I guess, for ease of tax purposes many years ago. But instead of keeping them as lot 6, lot 7, lot 8, in fact, there's other lots. So we have to go back through a subdivision process to re-subdivide. They do have one request, and that is the condition on the fence. Like I say, they're not planning to change. It's still going to be animals and hay, and they're going to graze it. And they would like to amend this to ask that the fence be moved upon development of those lots. So there's no fence on the corner where the house is. There's just a fence on the two, lot 6 and lot 7. And I'm sorry, there's only a fence there. And it looks like it's 5-6 feet into the public right-of-way. They'd rather not move that fence because they're just going to have to dig it up and put it back until such time as they do put a home on either of those lots, and then that would be part of the condition. And I did talk to Wes about this, and we also came up with the stipulation, or when the city requires them to move the fence because the road is being improved. So if it's 20 years from now, they still haven't moved the fence because they still haven't built a home, and the city says we're improving this road, or we're even repaving the road, that's when they would be required to move the fence, if the city so dictated. So I wonder if we could, that's what they're asking for. They really don't want to move the fence. It's a good fence. It keeps the animals out of the road, and they'd have to move it 5 feet. Wes?
Mike and I did talk about this. If the council went with that, I would encourage that some document be recorded. So if I buy one, if the kids do sell, I'm aware of that.
So
we're going to ask the council for this little help when we go to let them make that decision. But we're going to ask, the probes are going to ask that they keep the fence, file a record, file a notice on each of the new lots that says this will have to be done when you build a home. So that's the little hiccup they're just asking for.
Okay.
So I'm hoping you can amend the motion. Maybe Michael can help with that, if you are so inclined to let the council decide how to work with that. But I think they will, because we've done that before.
Yeah. We could make it work. It's easier to work with the developer than it is with future lot owners on this type of an issue, but I think that we could probably figure something out.
So we would put a clear note on the plat about the requirement, and also file a separate notice document so that it comes up on a title report. So no one's surprised.
Yeah, they won't be surprised. Having this separate document shows up in the title report that you mentioned, and that a lot of people don't like the plats, but they do find some sort of a title.
They look at them, they just don't read.
So they really intend to keep the property as is for many years.
Yeah.
So we'd want to add a third condition to this. Is that where you would put that?
We're modifying number one.
Just modifying number
one.
Okay.
Hey, shouldn't you be at a city council meeting somewhere?
No,
this isn't your city council member.
Oh.
Next week. Okay.
Questions or comments? Is anyone wanting to make a motion?
Nobody? I will.
Okay, Laura?
I will. We recommend approval to the City Council that Ben Probst, as trustee of the Wayne W. Probst Family Living Trust owner, to request final and approval of a small-scale subdivision. The proposal is for a 3-acre subdivision on 2.4 acres. The property is located at 905 West Main Street and is in the R19 zone. I recommend that we also include the staff possible findings and the recommended conditions with an alteration to condition one, and please help me with the verbiage of this, that we need to file a separate document stating that they will move the fence upon development of the lots and or improvement to the existing roads.
I think defined development is when somebody applies for a building permit. I think that's what we would do.
Okay. What he said. Okay. Thank you for the help.
And then you probably mentioned condition number two also.
Yes, the both conditions. I was just adding an edit to condition one. Okay, that's it. It was messy, but I did it.
That's great. Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Kim, thank you. Laura, do you want to start the voting?
Aye.
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 That is unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Johnson, it's not often that we have you at the Planning Commission. Do you have any final words of wisdom?
Nope.